Greetings, dear friends. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we would like to consider with you what I believe to be one of the most exciting, one of the most thrilling truths in all of God's Word. I said one of them, for there are many. But this one really brings joy to my heart. And from Ephesians 1 we read, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, through which He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom," that is in Christ, "we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin." And then from Ephesians 2 and 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." And from Colossians 2 and 10, "Ye are complete in Him." This subject that I refer to today is the subject of being in Christ. Every child of God, every believer, positionally being in Him. We have considered Him, that is the Lord Jesus, the internal incarnate God, as the eternal Creator. In previous broadcasts, we have looked upon Him as the incarnate Son and the suffering Savior. We viewed Him by faith and through the Word of God as the resurrected Christ, even the glorified High Priest, and the one who is coming for His church. The one who is coming with His church. We considered what we will be doing in heaven with Him, standing before Him at the judgment seat of Christ and being participants in the marriage supper of the Lamb, while on earth that time of great tribulation is taking place. And yet, what are we to do from now till then? Are we to just sit back and twiddle our thumbs, read a book, live it up? No, we find quite to the contrary, that because of what we once were and because of where we now are, I refer to Ephesians 2 to give us that picture. Of course, we could find it in many places. But there we find in verse 1 that prior to our conversion, prior to our being in Christ, we were dead in sin. Not only so, verse 2 tells us we walked according to the course of this world. We walked according to Satan. We were in accord with the spirit of disobedience. We had a manner of life that was in the lust of the flesh, and we were by nature the children of wrath. Verse 12 tells us we were without Christ, aliens, strangers, no hope, and listen to this, without God. A more pathetic picture has never been drawn by words or even by the artist. But all of this added to what we find in Romans chapter 3, the catalog of sin. And also from Isaiah chapter 64, we find out that we are totally depraved. We are unclean like the leper. Our very best is like filthy rags. We fade as a leaf and are driven by the wind. Therefore, it was of necessity that the Lord Jesus spoke to that very religious man, that very moral and refined man, Nicodemus, and said, "Sir, ye must be born again." And so the message is the same today. Listening friend, you who are without God, you who have no hope, strangers, aliens without Christ, ye must be born again. It is imperative that by the grace of God, you be saved and come into a right relationship with Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that in Ephesians chapter 2, we find this little word, "but," where it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us." Can't you thank God today that even though we were strangers and enemies and aliens and dead to God, He loved us. And note what it says in verse 5, "When we were dead in sins, He hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." And verse 8 also tells us, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You know, if we could be saved even 99% by the grace of God and 1% by our own merit or effort or religious duties, we would be prone to get to heaven and strut down the streets of glory and brag about it and say something to the effect that by the combined efforts of Jesus Christ and myself, I made it. But perish the ugly thought. When we get to there, we will only be singing praises unto Him who loved us and loosed us from our sins. All glory unto Him, the Redeemer who died, that we might be saved by His grace. God, who is rich in mercy, By grace you are saved. Verse 13 says, He hath made us nigh. He has brought us unto God by the blood of His cross. Friend of mine, are you brought nigh? Have you recognized before a holy God your condition outside of Christ? And recognize that the only sufficiency for the forgiveness of your sins is found in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the person who died there and the work that He accomplished. Know what happens when one is saved, when one is converted, when one is born again. John 1 and 12 says you become a child of God. Acts 10 and 43 says your sins are all forgiven. John 5 and 24 says you passed from death to life. John 3:16 says you receive eternal life as a gift. And from Romans 8 and 1, we read you were delivered from judgment. But note now, here's this precious truth to which we referred earlier. In Ephesians 2 and 6, it says you were made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that blessed truth that I referred to a few moments ago is the fact that every child of God, every born-again Christian, everyone who has been redeemed and cleansed by the precious blood of Christ is in Christ, in Christ Jesus. Note what it says in verse 10 of Ephesians 2. So often we quote verses 8 and 9, but I believe instead of making those verses a pair of twins, they should be a set of triplets. Let me read them all three together for you. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Praise God, we're not saved by our good works. Rather, we're saved unto good works. As someone else has put it, I cannot work my soul to save, for that my Lord hath done. But I will work like any slave for love of God's dear Son. Friend of mine, have you ever seen yourself? I'm speaking now to those who are Christians indeed. Those who know themselves to be born again children of God. Those who have come out of the deadness of sin into the glorious light and liberty of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever seen yourself as God sees you today? In Christ Jesus, made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ with other believers, His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now in Christ Jesus, ye are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Think about it, beloved. Our God sees us in Christ. Reach my blessed Savior first. Take Him from God's esteem. Prove Jesus bears one spot of sin, then tell me I'm unclean. Praise God, we are seen, accepted in the Beloved, not because of who we are, but because we are found, accepted by God in Christ. The catacombs in Rome, I had the privilege of being there several years ago. They are a series of underground tunnels and rooms. They're on five different levels. That's like being five stories high, five-story building, and yet it's all underground. It's 12 miles in length, and it contains some 90,000 tombs. It's quite an experience to go through these catacombs and to realize that during the days of persecution, many, many Christians found their only safety from physical death and physical torture hiding in these underground tombs. These underground catacombs. And while they were there, these devout followers of the Lord Jesus Christ had to have various passwords to protect themselves from intruders who sought to spy them out. And one of their common passwords was in Christo, or simply in Christ. They valued, they knew, they rejoiced in the truth that having been born into the family of God, having been made acceptable in Christ, they had this position and this truth firmly, indelibly impressed upon them. They were in Christ. Paul, throughout his epistles, uses this expression as a key to his message. For example, in Romans 3:24, Paul wrote under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. From 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, unto the church of God at Corinth, sanctified in Christ Jesus. From Galatians 2 and 4, our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus. Or, to paraphrase it, liberated from the shackles of sin to the glorious liberty in Christ. Again, from the passages we have been looking at in Ephesians, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He has raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. From Philippians 1 and 26, we read of our joy in Christ. You know, joy is the normal Christian experience for one who is in Christ. And this joyful experience is the most infallible proof of the presence of Almighty God. May I repeat that for your hearing? The constant experience of joy, which differs from happiness, incidentally, is the most infallible proof of the presence of Almighty God, of the fact, friend of mine, that you are in Christo, in Christ. From Colossians 2 and 9 and 10, we read that we are complete in Christ. All of God is in Christ, and all of Christ is available to us, so that being already complete in him, we may now become complete in a practical way by the gracious operation of his Holy Spirit in our lives, as by the grace of God, we totally submit to him. From 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3, we read of being hopeful in Christ. There will be one generation of Christians, you know, that will detour around the monument of death. The cold, clammy hands of death will miss completely one entire generation of Christians when Christ returns and takes all of those who are in Christ to be with Christ for all eternity. From 2 Thessalonians 1 and 12, we read of those who are glorified in him. Our portion in him is as a glorious one. His child, his son, his heir, his ambassador, his bride, his dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. Friend of mine, how much glory do you want? It's all there, bless God, available to you who are in Christ for the total submission of self to him. We read from 2 Corinthians 2 and 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which our God has prepared for them that love him. Friend of mine, I'm convinced that if God revealed it all to us, if he told us all that he had on reserve and on deposit for those who are in Christ by the grace of God, not according to their religion or their churchianity or their morality, but by the grace of God, those who have recognized themselves dead indeed unto God, without Christ, without hope, and trusted the Lamb of God that did shed his blood at Calvary, when he saves us by his grace and places us into his body in Christ, he reserves for us all of these things, which I believe we couldn't stand if he told us about it. Christian friend, rejoice in what you have in Christ. And because he gave his all that you might be in Christ, we owe it to him to give him our all in living for him down here till he takes us up there. Friend, out of Christ, why don't you trust him? You've got no idea what you're missing. What can be yours today through faith in Christ. Amen.